Good morning and welcome to another episode of the Because He Lives program. Before we begin, I would love to give thanks to our sponsors, Federal Mortar Spears and the Church of the Nazarene, Barbados District. My name is Dario Richards and joining me is my wife Linda Richards. And over the last couple of weeks, we have been answering this question, who is this man? And this question emerged from Jesus' disciples when they were out on a lake and a vicious storm arose and they watched Jesus woke up from his sleep, get out on the boat and spoke to the wind and the waves and everything ceased. And because of how amazed they were by what Jesus had done, they asked this question, who is this man? Over the last 2 weeks, we have been able to put some answers to this question. In the first week, we discovered that Jesus is the victor over demons. He has authority over demons. Then, we discovered last week that Jesus is also the victor over diseases. He has authority over all sickness and all disease. And as we read the scriptures this morning, we will see and discover another powerful answer to the question, who is this man? So Lynn, read today's scripture for us, please.
Good morning, Barbados. I am reading from Mark chapter 5, from verse 35 to 43. You can follow along with me in your Bibles. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately, the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat.
Excellent. So we see he's the victor over demons. He's the victor over disease. And now from this story, we also see that Jesus is the victor over death. That he has authority over death. Now before we dive into the scriptures, it is important that we talk a bit about death within its context in the Bible. The Bible has a lot to say about death. As a matter of fact, when you start even from the book of Genesis and we see the story as God puts Adam and Eve in the garden and he gives them a single command, the one consequence that he gives them is the fact that if you eat from this tree, if you disobey my commandments, you will surely die. So death was the ultimate consequence of sin from the very beginning. But as we know, that consequence did not stop at Adam and Eve. The scriptures continue as we read in Romans, "As by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and death has passed upon all men, because all have sinned." So not only do we see death as the ultimate consequence of sin, but we see that universally that death is inevitable for all of us, because all of us are sinners. All of us have a nature of sin, and the same way the punishment for Adam and Eve's sin in the garden was death, so is our punishment, death. It is a direct result of sin. But not only that, as we continue to read the scriptures, we see this interesting description of death, that the Bible describes death as the last enemy. Again, pointing to the fact that it is this ultimate consequence, that it is the one thing that we as human beings cannot avoid, that we will collectively die, experience death. Now, there must be a distinction made. There are two types of death that we will be exploring today. There is the physical death, which is the separation of the soul from the body, again, which is inevitable. As long as you are born of a woman, you will experience death. You will physically die. But then there's also a spiritual death, which is now not just the separation of the soul from the body, but the separation of the soul from God. That spiritual death is described throughout the scriptures as man being eternally separated from God. Man not having the capacity or the ability to be in relationship with God. And as we read through the scriptures and we continue this discussion, both of these realities we will be touching on. The fact that Jesus is victor over death, period. Mm-hmm. He has authority over death, period. In the scripture, we clearly see that he has authority over physical death. That he had the capacity to look at a girl who everybody believed was dead. That her soul had left her body and he was able to restore life to her physically. But we will also discover that Jesus doesn't only have authority and the ability to overcome physical death, but he can do it over spiritual death. And through him, we have the opportunity to find life, that our souls will never be separated from God. So Lynn, talk to us about this portion that you read earlier.
Okay, so as we look at this passage, I want us to zoom into the words that Jesus spoke. I think that they provide a good outline and guide for us as we explore Jesus's power over death. And so the first verse that I would like us to focus in on is the verse where Jesus says to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just believe." And you can imagine Jairus, because he came to Jesus earlier with a crowd around him. And then Jesus keeps getting interrupted as he moves closer and closer to the home where Jairus's daughter is. And then when he finally gets close enough, somebody comes out to say to him, "Jairus, your daughter is dead. So just leave the teacher alone." And the implication is God can do anything. He can heal the sick. He can help with diseases. But when it comes to death, he has no power there. And Jesus's response to the people and the persons around Jairus is saying that, you know, Jesus doesn't have power to intervene. This is far past his capacity and his ability to help. Jesus says, "Wait a minute. Don't be afraid. Just believe." And it's the same thing that he is saying to us today. And when we think about our death, because death is something that is inevitable, but scripture tells us that as believers, that we will not perish. John 3:16 says,
"God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son,
that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." Again, Jesus continues to give us this message. He continues to say to the world, to his believers, do not be afraid. Just believe. Where everyone else is looking on and saying this is a full stop, religion has, in time and time again, given us ideas of what's going to happen to us. Some people say there is no God, so there is nothing. Mm-hmm. Some people say we're going to come back as something else. Some people say this is the end of consciousness and everything else. Jesus is saying, do not fear. Mm-hmm. Where other people cannot intervene and where it's a full stop for other people, it isn't for me. Just believe. Every Christian who responds to this gift of salvation has eternal life. Mm-hmm. And so as we reflect on our own lives and our own situation and our own state, remember Jesus' words to Jairus, because they're also important for us. Just believe.
Yeah. You know, and I think that even in this portion highlights another recurring theme from all the passages that we have read. Mm-hmm. And that theme is the fact that if you even look back at Jesus's time on the boat, the question of where is your faith? you know, we acknowledge that we are all sinners. We acknowledge that death is inevitable to all of us. And we are acknowledging now that Jesus is the authority. He's the victor over death. But there's something that we must bring to the table. And what we must bring to the table, as a matter of fact, the only thing that we can bring to the table is faith. The only thing that we can bring to contribute to anything that Jesus is doing, whether it is casting out demons, healing the sick, or in this case, raising the dead, The demand that is consistently put on us is to have faith. That we must believe that Jesus is who he says he is. And this is why it is even important for us right now to be exploring this topic. This is why we are going through this process of asking, who is this man? Mm-hmm. Because as we find an accurate description of this man in the scriptures, the goal is that our faith be strengthened. That as we deal with the demonic and evil forces of life, as we deal with disease and sickness, as we deal with the reality of death, that we have very clearly in our mind that despite all of these things are worthy of fear, despite all of these things can have a significant and severe impact on our lives, that we do not have to be afraid because we believe who this man is. We believe that Jesus is a victor over death, that he has authority over death, and he has the capacity to not only raise the physical dead, but to also cause us to experience spiritual life. We need to have faith.
Yes, and the second point we see here coming out is when Jesus goes to the house, he says to them in verse 39, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." And what's interesting to me here is Jesus is coming to a house where they have just lost a child, and he's asking them, why all this commotion? Mm-hmm. But the question isn't, you know, don't mourn or don't be sad. The question is, don't focus on that. Focus on me. Mm-hmm. And as Jesus asks the question, they laugh. But the reality is, what Jesus is saying is, because I am here, that has to go. Mm-hmm. Because I am coming to address this problem that no longer has power, that no longer has thing, that no longer has victory. And it comes back to what the Apostle Paul said when he talks about death, that because of Jesus, because of his power over death, death is swallowed up in victory. And he says, mm-hmm. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And as we think about death, the important point here is that death is not permanent mm-hmm. for the believer. Yeah. Death is temporary. And the only reason that we can quench the commotion and the wailing is because Jesus is on the scene. If Jesus isn't present, if Jesus doesn't have the victory, then by all means, go into eternal wailing. Yeah. But because of Jesus Christ, we have hope. We have victory. We have power. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean that we are not sad when others die, because even Jesus cried for Lazarus knowing mm-hmm. that he was the resurrection and life. Mm-hmm. But what he's saying is focus on the fact, zoom in on the fact that I am on the scene. And because I am on the scene, this is only going to be temporary. Mm-hmm. This doesn't have the same power or sting that it has. I have already defeated the last enemy.
Yeah, beautifully. Like, who is this man? This is the only man that has the ability to directly address the inevitability and permanence of death.
Yes.
Like, there's only one individual in all of human history, in all of creation, that has the power to stop the inevitable from being inevitable, and to stop or to change what was once permanent to now being temporary.
Yeah.
This is the capacity and the power of this man, Jesus, that he bears this unique power and this unique ability that he could walk into a room where I am sure if there was a doctor in the room checking this girl's pulse, the doctor would have declared this girl is dead. But Jesus comes on the scene and Jesus is like, nah, she's just sleeping, you know, and it, as you said, it points to the Christian reality. That part of our faith is that a time is going to come where we will experience physical death. But we do not have to experience spiritual death. Mm-hmm. And even though we are going to die physically, as Jesus says to Jairus' daughter, don't worry, fam, she is but asleep. Yeah. You know, he is but asleep. And this is only a reality for us. This is only possible because of this man called Jesus, because of who he is, his power and his authority over death. Excellent.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Lynn.
and his sacrifice as well, because this reality is only possible because Jesus defeated death himself.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't just have power over death, but he completely defeated that through his resurrection. He couldn't just raise other people, but he was able to raise himself.
Oh, come on.
And that was important for us to understand when we think about the temporary state of death as believers, because it's a reminder that we don't have to despair in the face of death. But for me, one of the most beautiful statements that Jesus made was at the end when he said in verse 41, he took her by the hand and said to her, Talita kum, which means little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. Jesus said to her, get up. For me, the important question is not just that we have eternal life. That's amazing. That's really good that God has given us eternal life. That is a promise that we can live with hope and that we can understand that even death is only temporary. There is no hole that death no longer has in our life. But then in light of those realities, how then do we live? How then do we live knowing that death is not permanent, that all of us at some point will get up, right? And so the important question is for us now, as we consider this and we consider who Jesus is how am I going to live knowing that I am going to get up eventually? That even after death, God is going to say to all of us, first to those who die in him, and then to others, get up.
Mm-hmm.
Am I getting up to eternal life? Or am I getting up to eternal damnation? And so as we think about Jesus's power over death, it's an important reminder, not just to death, but to our life right now. How am I living? And Jesus says over and over again, I am the resurrection, which means he can deal with death, but he is also the life.
Mm-hmm.
He gives life and he offers us life. And I love that at the end of all of this commotion, Jesus gives a simple instruction. He says, ensure that this child has something to eat, please. Give her some food and some nourishment. And as simple as that is, this is the same thing Jesus is saying to us about our spiritual state.
Mm-hmm.
You're focusing on all of these things, but are you feeding your spiritual life, your growth, mm-hmm. your life in me? Are you doing the things, the small things, that would add to your life, that would ensure that you are healthy and that you are strong? And Paul reminds us that we don't need to now go searching and looking for everything, but Jesus has already given us every single thing we need to live a holy life. He says, I have given you everything you need, every spiritual blessing, so that you can live a holy life. And he also reminds us that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to us also, which means it doesn't matter what sin, what struggles, whatever we're dealing with, that power is able to allow us to get up in Christ, to live a holy life, and to walk in victory through Jesus Christ.
Excellent. You know, one of the things that you mentioned that has just been, you know, circling in my head is the fact that Jesus didn't just talk about his power over death. He didn't just make declarations. Like, part of the reason why we could wholeheartedly believe that Jesus is who he says he is because he modeled it. Like, Jesus went to war with death.
Yeah.
He experienced the physical death. He said it from the very beginning. Listen, no one can take my life. I lay my life down and I will pick it up again. And we know that he has authority over death because the historical record shows that Jesus died on a cross, but 3 days later, he rose again,
mm-hmm.
ultimately defeating death. And I think this is the crucial picture that we must hold of the death and the resurrection of Jesus. That in this experience, in this moment, it is Jesus showing to us that he really has authority over death.
Yeah.
That he was willing to go down into the grave to show us that he can rise above, that he can overcome death. And I think because he has modeled it, again, it points back to the first point, that our faith should be strengthened because we are having a deeper revelation, even further clarity of who Jesus is. But I also love what you mentioned, Lynn, in the fact that Jesus doesn't just defeat death, but he gives us life.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact that we don't have to wait to the end of the age to experience this new life, right? Mm-hmm. We don't have to wait until, you know, we are on our physical deathbed mm-hmm. to experience this spiritual life. Because without Jesus, outside of Christ, the Bible describes us as currently and permanently in a state of eternal spiritual death. Yeah? Ephesians begins, as we were dead in our trespasses and sin. Not dying. You know, we love, I was sinking. We ain't sinking. We done drunk. We drunk. We mm-hmm. dead. The fish eating, we flesh off. Dead. That is the state we are in without Christ. But the life that he offers, the evidence of his authority over spiritual death, is something that we can experience right here
yes.
and right now if we do what Jesus required at the very beginning. If we just believe. And here's the thing about sin, is that all of us have experienced and practiced sin in many different ways. And the thing about it is, as we take through Christian circles, you can quickly hear the poor theology that we have about sin, but how we talk about our testimonies. You know, somebody to get up to do a testimony and they will say something like, man, you know, my testimony not as bad as Linda's own. Or my mm-hmm. testimony, you know, when I grew up, I wasn't in a club or I wasn't on drugs, you know, I wasn't that bad. When you begin to use that language, you miss the whole point. Whether you were the worst drug addict, prostitute, killer, murderer, or you were a goody two-shoes church girl who never did anything wrong in quotation marks in your life, all of us are equally described as dead in our trespasses and sins. And the death, the level of death, the nature of death is equal amongst us all. Dead. But this man called Jesus, this man that we discover in the scriptures, this man that we see in Mark, we see that he has the authority to defeat death in our lives and to give us new life, abundant life. And that is the story of the cross. That is the story of Jesus's death and resurrection. That is who this man is.
Yeah, and so Jesus today is just extending his hand the same way he extended his hand to Jairus' daughter. And he's saying to us, get up spiritually so that we can experience the full life that he has to offer. You know, in the book of John, he says, I have come that you may have life mm-hmm. and have it to the full. And we are reminded in that passage of scripture that Jesus is the good shepherd who gives life to his sheep. Mm-hmm. And Jesus wants to extend that life to all of us. And as we listen to this passage and as we listen to the fact that Jesus has power over death, we must understand that today Jesus is calling us to experience and embrace that good life. There may be circumstances around us or situations we're in where people may be looking and saying, not you. And they laugh and they mock and they ridicule because maybe we may have an addiction or we may be in some difficult situation that seems hopeless or impossible. Or we may be those people that seem like we cannot be redeemed. You're not redeemable. You know, we're the black sheep of the family or something. And even when we attempt to talk about God, people laugh and they ridicule. But the power of God is that where people put a full stop, God says, I can deal with that. Mm-hmm. This isn't the end for me because I have power. Once I am on the scene, I can address your issues. Mm-hmm. And so even though like we are not physically dead mm-hmm. at the moment, but for some of us, we are spiritually dead.
Yeah.
Jesus is saying, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Yeah.
My resurrection isn't just for your physical bodies. It's for your spiritual body as well. I am here. It could be the worst thing, the habit that has had you bound for the longest while. That same power that raised me from the dead is available to address your issues right now.
Yeah.
Extend your hands to me. Believe I can enable you to live a holy life.
Amen. You know, I think that's good, Lynn. And I want to leave us with this short but potent verse that I think summarizes everything that we have discussed this morning. John 11:25 and 26, which we referred to earlier. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." Do you believe this? Do you have faith in this? So who is this man? This man called Jesus. He's the victor over demons. He's the victor over diseases. And he is the victor over death. This is who this man is. Bless you. Before we wrap up, we want to remind you that Nazarene Day is coming on April the 28th, 2024, where we will join with our Nazarene family to have fun, food, and fellowship with some sports. Listen to this announcement to hear more about Nazarene Day. God bless you, and we will hear you next week.
Nazarene Day is back, and our team is My Nazarene, and it will be held on Monday, the 29th of April at 9 a.m. at the King George V Memorial Park. We will be having ministry and worship, the parade of zonal teams, sports, games, and athletics, a health and wellness clinic, a business exposition, line dancing, and a fitness session. This year, we will be wearing our My Nazarene shirt, and I am encouraging all Nazarenes to pre-order your shirts in your zone color. You can place these orders through your zone coordinator or by calling 234-5020. Looking forward to seeing all Nazarenes at Nazarene Day. Because